Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators are in action tonight hosting the Calgary Flames starting at 7 o'clock. Willie Donick joins the phone. Willie D., how we doing?
Hey, guys. Good to see you.
Happy to have you on
Hanging
board.
Out here at Barrel House. How about that?
It's a great day.
Yeah.
It's a great day.
A little bit.
And it's also a great day because it's Hut in the Clock. Jonathan Hutton,
yes.
Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joins us. Hutton, always appreciate your time and always appreciate our visits every single Wednesday. Hutton, we started the show with this. You know, Titans are playing the worst team in the league in the Carolina Panthers this weekend, and even against the lowly Carolina Panthers, I still don't feel very confident about the Titans' chances of winning this game. But I'm interested to hear your perspective of where the Titans fan base is at. Do you think the Titans fan base even cares about winning games anymore?
Yeah, they care. They care. If you take calls, I'm sure they care. That's why everyone is their heads on a pitchfork. They care about winning games. Here's the other thing I think that kind of dulls the losing conversation is, and you guys jump in if you think I'm way off base here, but isn't it just typical Titans that they trade up and draft Will Levis last year in the second round? And this year they could have a top five pick and they'll pass on the quarterback because
that
they have Will
classic.
Levis. And
please don't let that happen.
Well, I mean, Mace, we're headed towards it, man. At this stage, they may have the number one pick. Let's be real about it. But they look, I'm tongue in cheek there, but what they'll do is they'll draft an offensive tackle. And that's the best case scenario for the way this offensive line looks. But it's also rinse, repeat, same song, different verse. The Titans fan base has been there, and it's just kind of played out by now where we're going to be evaluating offensive linemen again or debating whether or not to trade back, and then you end up you pass on the O-lineman. Of course, you pass on the quarterback, and of course, you pass on Marvin Harrison Jr. It's a mess, and it's just, you know, my grandfather used to say, I'd rather laugh than cry. I think that's kind of how the fan base is right now.
100%. Where are you on Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff?
I think Vrabel's a good coach. I do. For all of the dissecting of what we have seen this year, we weren't really doing that to him at this time last year. It was all John Robinson. And it's fair now that he's getting criticism. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve criticism. I'm not saying he can't be on the hot seat. I'm just not willing to say, yeah, he should be fired. There's a lot of good that has happened while he has been here. And as long as he's locked in and he wants to be here and working for Amy Adams Strunk, I would want him here as the Titans head coach, at least to the point where we've seen the results that we've seen and the attitude, the identity ring true. What we're not seeing now is that. It's the exact opposite of that. I agree. It deserves questioning. Does it deserve the emotional response of he's got to go? No, not yet. But hey, he's got to be willing to evaluate and self-reflect and look and know, hey, some of these coaches aren't getting it done. And, you know, discussing, you know, how close they are on trying to block an extra point and discussing effort and how good the special teams are, or chatting about what could be, you know, a good defense, but it's not good because of this or that, and it's all execution. And then offense has just been a complete disaster. It's got to be more than just execution of plays, especially for a coach that won Coach of the Year, and deservedly so, for getting the most out of a roster that had turned over multiple times. And we're not seeing that this year. That is deserving of criticism and tough questions. Is it deserving of a pink slip? No. But hey, let me finish by saying this. I wasn't expecting John Robinson to get fired on December the 6th last year. And it came down to Amy Adams Strunk telling us she had already made up her mind. So there are always surprises around the corner and at every turn. It goes back to ownership and what they want or don't want to do.
Now, Hutt, does he have enough money in the bank in the sense of, okay, if because we've seen this before, you know, ownership say, hey, listen, you need to move away from said coach, and the head coach don't want to, and then hence the head coach gets fired. Has Vrabel built up enough to, if Amy comes to him and say, hey, listen, some things need to be changed coaching wise, does he have enough to say, no, let's run it back. I believe in the coaches that I have. I'm going to give them another shot. Has he built up enough equity to be able to do that? Because I thought Mike Mularkey, with what he did with that roster that he inherited, he did enough. And obviously it wasn't, because they end up firing him. Does Vrabel have enough built up to kind of go against that?
Look, I don't think he can just go completely against it. Mm-hmm. He didn't go against the Downing firing altogether. He just did at the time, right? So do changes have to be made? Yes. Is he willing to make changes? Yes. My whole thing, if I'm ownership, is just like, okay, what's our plan now? If you're keeping a guy, tell us why, explain why, and why it's not on the coach, why it's not on development. Why is Chigakonkwo not the guy that he was sold to be this past offseason? Like those are the questions I would be asking, more than just like, hey, why are you loyal to this coach? So it's got, to me, it's player and position specific. And now we're going back to, I mean, if he wants to take it for the offensive line, he can raise his hand and say he wanted Andre Dillard. Mm-hmm. He can raise his hand and say that he chose to sign the center to a 4-year contract. Like those are real answers. But at the same point, Mace, there has to be a development and accountability. And if I'm sitting here with you telling you, hey, I don't think Vrabel should be fired, I think some of these coaches got to go. There's got to be some turnover, some new life. And also just an energy factor that says, hey, this was not acceptable. And in the NFL, you're on the hot seat for one bad year. I mean, he's already getting questions about that. If he feels like that's how he feels about that and his job security. And the NFL heads roll whenever the offense is this awful. And it's not about that they're bad. It's how bad they've been. And they can't even run the football with this offensive line and with this, with the way this offense is currently constructed. That's going nowhere fast. And because of that, the acceptable answer, while there can be several, the one that can't be is, yeah, we're just going to run it back with the coaches we have because it's not on us. Everyone is to blame. Everyone is at fault, including Mike Vrabel.
Now, we looked at last game because we have had texters and callers try to, you know, sort of differentiate. I can't get that word out.
Differentiate.
Yeah. There we go. Between last week's and this week's game. And my thing with last week's game, it had everything to do with keeping yourself in the hunt. Because if you're 4-6, it looks better than 3-7. And you still have an opportunity, albeit a long shot, but you still have an opportunity to put yourself in a position to win the division. Because we know how this division can get, guys. Teams can go on rolls and they, you know, go on winning streaks and can end up finding themselves like Jacksonville did last season, winning the division on the last game of the season. But I look at this Carolina game as a must win, not because it has anything to do with the draft, not because it has anything to do with a potential playoff berth, but because you don't want to now be seen outside of Nashville as an incompetent team, a bad team. You're going against what many believe is the worst team in the NFL right now, the Carolina Panthers. If they come to your house and win, now people are not looking at Carolina as the worst team. They're looking at you as the worst team.
The Titans are included in the mix, like with the Cardinals and the Panthers and the Patriots, mm-hmm. right? And they already are, by the way.
Good I'm company.
You, that's just the yeah. They're already in that company. That's how bad they've been. But I agree with you, Mace. Like the perception is different from the outside looking in, from the 30,000 foot view of what many of the national media will be looking at. You know, but besides Patriots, Giants, Titans, and maybe it's on the same plane too. Good company. Patriots, Giants, Titans, Panthers. this Sunday in Week 12. And who would have thought we would have lumped those games in to the worst of the weekend? You can't lose the Carolina Panthers, Mace. But they also can't be this bad on the road, and they have been. They've been really good at home. 28 points, 27 points. Like, they actually score at home. And for what it's worth, they are competitive against bad teams. So they shouldn't come in here and just be an obvious loss. Like, I can come up with ways that the Titans win this game. It's when they play average teams that they don't meet that criteria. And they can compete against teams that are very much like them. I mean, the Panthers are going and taking their lumps with the rookie quarterback. The Titans just don't have an offensive line. We know that's the case in Carolina as well. And we've seen not just a regression, but a virtual just poof and it's gone of the run game. Just evaporation, because they've gone from not just regressing to, over the last couple of weeks, it's just not there. And 18 sacks in the last 8 games for the defense. They have 5 takeaways in the last 8 games. That's the worst in the NFL. They're facing a rookie quarterback that they should be able to get the ball from, but they have been telling us they're not going to be able to do that for, and this was a coaching staff that that really pounded the pavement about getting more turnovers this offseason. And then, you know, Trevor Lawrence, that didn't have a single rushing touchdown until last week, and he had 2 on Sunday. So I take this into account when I say anything's possible against this Panthers team. That's how bad the Titans are. And I also think a lot of the sentiment that we're discussing, where it's just kind of like, you know, Vrabel shouldn't go, but, you know, coaches got to go. I think I'm probably like many of those that are listeners or callers to your show. Like, I think that's likely the sentiment internally. But lose to Carolina at home, and who knows? I mean, that's one of those that you just – it feels like the Chargers game, Willie, Mace, Carolina. The Chargers game at home this year, you could feel there was a bit of pressure there where you got to go win this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you had Levis's first game where he's, you know, piled on to that. And this – they return home, it feels like forever – and that pressure's still there, even though it's a team that's not going anywhere.
And the only reason I bring that up, Hutt, is because I think once the narrative changes nationally, I think that's when the pressure starts to heat up. Because if it's just a local thing where some fans are, you know, displeased with what's going on, they don't like what's going on, they're disappointed, that's one thing. I think if it starts becoming a national narrative that's a bad team, that the coaches on that coaching staff isn't made for this team and they need to go in another direction. I think once that changed from a national standpoint, that's when coaches starts to get fired.
Well, that, and you know, that's whenever the reports begin to contradict themselves, right? Mm-hmm. You've got Breer and Russini who are saying that Amy Adams Trunk loves Mike Vrabel and, you know, is glowing about him over the offseason or whatever it might be. And that can be true. But that's when you have the updated tweets and posts from different reports. Or you know, the other thing here's what's very cyclical and the low-hanging fruit. They'll go back to the well on the New England rumor is what they'll do. That's what begins to really circle the wagons and the questions that will begin to be answered. Because while I don't think that Vrabel is just looking to tap out and look for the easy way out, you know, they're what it will cause, Mace, is for a definitive answer before an answer is given of, why won't you say this? Why won't you say that? Are you in? Where's Amy Adams Trunk? Where's Rand Carthon's voice in all of this? Mike Vrabel's the figurehead. He's the guy. He is making the decisions because he's the one talking. He's going to be getting all those questions, to your point.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton. And, Hutt, it's interesting you mentioned the draft scenario, and I kept thinking as you were saying that, and the theme was you have a high pick and an opportunity to get a quarterback, and you think you've already spent enough on quarterbacks that you have to pass. How about Carolina that traded for the first pick? They're 1-9.
Yeah.
There seem to be some questions about their quarterback. They could have the first pick, but they don't have the pick. They don't have the pick. How about that?
It's unbelievable is what it is. And also on top of it.
The Bears could have what? Picks 1 and 3?
Yeah.
1 and 4?
2 top 5 picks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing too, now Frank Reich is all of a sudden being mentioned as being on the outs, which is also just, as the NFL turns here. There's a lot of storylines for April that are coming up on in late November for the Titans and the Panthers. And in one case, the investment is way bigger than the one that the Titans made. So there is that to compare to what the Titans got. Will Levis, who Mel Kiper would have selected number one overall.
Okay, so there's always Mel.
Yes.
So, Hutt, here's something I know will be a theme down the stretch, and that is guys that you're trying to identify that will be a part of the team going forward. Name me a guy that you're looking for that right now we don't know. It could go either way, that you would like to see solidify his spot on the team for next year.
So on defense for me, it would be solidify his spot, meaning like I could see where he's not back. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Show me a guy that you need to do well, but right now you're not sure if he belongs on the team next year. Like I'm thinking of a lot of guys like Christian Fulton, I thought might have been coming out of the doghouse until last week. And now it's kind of like, I don't see it.
Yeah. There's some back and forth though. I don't know how he plays his way. I think if he plays great, he's
but
out.
We know
anyway,
that's a position where you never have enough of them. They don't have anybody else right now. So that to me, that's a classic one of how does it look in the last 7 weeks. But I don't know that he's going to stay. But that's just one example. But what comes to mind? Because if you're Rand Carthon, you're like, please, somebody emerge so I don't have 50 holes to fill with less than a full complement of draft picks, etc.
Well, I would lump this in and just say, Willie, they signed a lot of backups that they thought were not done developing into who they are. Arden Key, Al Shire, just defensively, like guys that can be done, you can do away with in a year if they're not the guy. But they really need, though, they need to hit on one or two of those guys. Offensive line's the same way, but I'm not lumping them in because – again, there's another turnover coming up front in that regard. And maybe it comes down to this, too. Solidifying just what we're going to see from Tajay Spears. Because it's not that he's not on the roster by any means. That's why I asked you the question. But he and Chigakonkwo, I think, are big pieces to the puzzle next year, whether you like it or not. And they're going to be factors that they're not going to be replaced in the offseason. Because they don't have enough in the draft to go and replace those guys, and they're not going to invest a ton of money in running back if they can invest a ton of money in the offensive line, for instance, when they have Tajay Spears on a rookie contract. Again, just an example. Same thing at tight end. If they believe in Chigakonkwo and they're willing to give him another year, I don't think they try to go over the – unless they're going after Bowers – they're not going to go after or go over the top for Chigakonkwo. They need to really be making a turn towards the end of the year, over the second half of the season. And, we're already seeing Spears get his share. I wonder if he gets his share of just the offense now instead of just the share of the snaps.
I'm very curious to see how they use him down the stretch.
Yeah, and that's not directing the answer, I guess, to your question enough there. But I would just go to the vets that they brought in that were backups last year for good teams that have not been anything but just a steady guy who can come in and play for you if someone went down ahead of them, which is how the other teams treated them. And I haven't seen enough to say, they warrant more of a long-term, maybe 2-3-year contract.
Last one for you, Hutton. Will Levis was not out at practice yesterday, and Paul Kaharsky tweeted that it was a super light walkthrough. But what is your concern level for Will Levis potentially this week and even for the rest of the season behind this offensive line?
My concern level is the same for any quarterback behind this offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, I think even Malik Willis was getting sacked on all of his career snaps, like 18.5% of the time he was taking a sack. I mean, it's just Duck and cover is what it is. It's like the old tornado drill at my elementary school back in the day. The deal with Levis is he's going to be banged and bruised. And I mean, you want to talk about battle tested. This guy's going to take his lumps.
For real.
I think he plays. I think he's tough. Tannehill's tough too. And this is where it gets really just strange, is if you go into a week where you don't know if we're going to see Levis or Tannehill play based on injuries, and Tannehill's, you know, if he's back there, he's going to get hurt again too. It's just it's how bad this O-line is, Caroline, to say, like, I'm concerned for any three of them. And because of that, they're not going to move the football. That's just what they are right now offensively. And the defense doesn't get the ball back. They don't set up the offense to where they're at least getting three. And even Nick Folk was having a bad day in Jacksonville because he wasn't needed. I mean, it's just, yeah, the offensive line is going to play a factor in any of these quarterbacks' health concerns. And most recently, it's Will Levis.
I mean, you're going to have to get to a point where you're putting Jeffrey Simmons in a quarterback at some point. Like, this assembly line of quarterbacks that the Titans are probably going to go through with this lousy offensive line. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. Hut, appreciate you as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. We'll chat next week.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys. And I will say, one of my favorite things to watch right now is Simmons on offense, not because he's scoring touchdowns, but watching him target and dial in a guy that he's just about to waylay. It's one of my favorite things.
It's got to be a bad feeling for that guy. Like, oh, boy, is he going to block me?
It was a breath of fresh air. Like going
and if
through
you
all
hesitate
of...
on defense, you're going to be shown in the team meeting in the film room as well. You have to just go all in.
It was a breath of fresh air, though, on Sunday afternoon, looking through all of the melancholy post-game interviews. And then you hear Jeffrey Simmons saying, man, that was a dream come true. That was awesome. It was nice to hear at least a little bit of positivity in that locker room.
Just save it. Just save it for a... That moment should impact the game in some way. It did not in any way. That was my only criticism of that play call.
If you wait until you're pretty much completely out of the game to try and pull some tricks out of your bag and say, well, let's throw the defensive tackle in.
Can they not use that to beat the Panthers? Can we please beat the Panthers with that play?
Now that that's on film.
I'm sure there's more.
There's got to be.
There's got to be a play.
The only way this team can score is off trick plays.
Come on. Bring it on.
He's going to throw it.
What's the next chapter? It's like the fridge back in 1985. You just kept waiting. What was Mike Ditka going to do next with the fridge? Like, so he had all kinds of stuff. Fridge threw a pass. Are we going to see Jeffrey throw a pass?
Never know.
You never know.
D. Mace has a couple of gadget plays in there, too.
Hey, yeah. I got a few. If you want to line me up.
A whole lot of back tricks.
Absolutely.
Right, Hutton, you are the very best. Tricks. Appreciate you.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Thank you.
Yep,
happy
you,
Thanksgiving, Hutton. Appreciate you. Jonathan Hutton, he is the very best. You can check out Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on the Outkick Network. But coming up next, Willie Donick has joined the party. We're going to break down the question that I opened up the show with, the question that I asked D. Mace. Where is this fan base? Is it frustration or is it apathy? And does this fan base really care about winning games throughout the rest of the season? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. Caroline, Ridley, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and D. Mace at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. They will break down the Titans' Week 12 matchup against the Panthers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Willie Donick has joined the party after morning skate. Willie, we started the show today talking about where the fans are at right now. Taking on the Carolina Panthers this weekend. The Panthers are the worst team in the league. And even though they're the worst team in the league, I still don't feel confident in picking the Titans to win this football game, Nissan Stadium or not. So the question is, do fans even really care about winning games throughout the rest of the season? We had one caller call in earlier and say, I don't get the big deal about this game. Because if we lose, we get a better draft pick.
Yeah, I see D. Mace's point in if you lose to the Panthers, that doesn't send a very good message
if
at
you
all.
Can't beat the worst right. team, then maybe you are the worst team.
So I still think the fan base is coming to grips with this. We're looking at the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's now time to, how are you going to address rebuilding the team here? This window is closed. So sometimes the fans are a little late to, sorry, at least a portion of the fan base is late to grasp that.
Yeah.
But I think when you're sitting there and you paid your money for the seats and you're sitting in the stands, mm-hmm. you want to beat Carolina. You want to win the game. And if you don't, then you really are looking at a boo fest kind of thing. If you lose to Carolina, I think it could get emotional there. But this is what I see sometimes too, which I think is going to be a challenge. They started to win after having a down cycle mm-hmm. at the end of the malarkey, and then obviously from the time Mike Vrabel came in. They were relevant, right? They weren't a powerhouse right away, but they were getting winning records. They were in races. They got the playoff games. And it took a couple years for the fans to get back to where they had some apathy there for a while. And it was a lot of games. There was a takeover by the other team, or you had a lot of empty seats, especially when the weather gets a little cold. That's what I'm looking for here is what do we see in the stands? You know, do people even show up? Like, some fans show up to boo, you know, and you're like, well, that's not ideal, but they're showing up.
Yeah, right.
But they're showing up.
Yeah.
The real tough one is when you get big, big gaps of empty seats. And that's what was happening for a while in, you know, the Ken Whisenhunt era, just to throw a couple years out there, where it was pathetic for a while. You could walk up and get tickets for $5 going in there, especially late in the year. So Thanksgiving weekend, where there's a lot of games going on, there's a lot of activities, what does the crowd look like? I think it's an important question.
But if people are showing up to boo, and if people
I don't have a problem with that.
Throwing stuff on the field yeah. because they're so mad if the Titans lose to the Panthers, I think this team's still in a good shape. Because if people care enough to show up and to show their displeasure, then they care enough. It's when people stop caring. It's when you lose games and you're not feeling the emotion or the reaction from the fan base because they're just checked out. Apathy, I think, is the most dangerous place where a franchise's fan base can be.
Yep.
And I don't think we're there yet.
And they've been there before.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think they're there yet, for sure. And I think there's an expectation. They've played well in that stadium. So if you've been going to games, you're like, well, I've had good experiences here, right? That's your experience this year. And you're playing a team 1-9, you're like, well, maybe I'll see them win. I think that's the expectation going in. Whereas if they were playing a powerhouse team, if they're playing the Chiefs or somebody like that, you'd be like, it's all underdog stance, right? It's like, I'm not expecting much here. Let's just see what happens kind of thing. But I think they're favored. This team has been favored in one other game this year, I think.
It's a 3.5-point favorite, too. That's just home field advantage.
Yeah.
That's where this team is at.
Yeah, you can't expect, because I go back to the last game, and to me, and I don't know if Titans fan felt this way, but to me, I thought that game last week versus the Jaguars, being a divisional game, it's still, if you win it, it gives everyone hope.
Right. Like, and that's what you're looking for. Yeah, you're looking for hope.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then there's an extreme disappointment that the game is not competitive.
Exactly.
I think that's the last 2 weeks, is you went into the game thinking, okay, is there still something there? This is Mike Vrabel. This is a team that rallies. They get in the trenches and they fight. And you didn't really see a whole lot of that the last couple weeks. So it looks like I don't see a formula that you can win here.
No. Is there a formula?
With the offensive line. That's
with the offensive line, the way they're playing, I don't think the recipe or the formula to win doesn't even work anymore. Because in prior years, the formula to win, everybody knows. Give the ball to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and play good defense.
Exactly. Play good defense. Get the ball to Derrick Henry. Play action pass.
Yeah.
That's the formula to winning. So much so the other teams knew it too. Like, we got to stop Derrick Henry, because once he gets going, it opens up everything for the Tennessee Titans from an offensive standpoint. They can't even rely on that now. They can't even go back to what their identity was and identity has been since this team got here in 97. They can't even count on that. And I've never seen a year, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, especially Willie, because Willie was here. I left in 04, so Willie, you were still covering the Titans. I don't think there's ever been a year that I can remember that they couldn't say, one thing we can hang our hat on is running the football and playing sound defense. Now, defense had their up and down years, but no matter what, we can run the football, and this is what we're going to do. They can't do that now.
Yeah. I can't remember a team that was any good that didn't have that mentality, that you could run it. It all starts with the running game. We know the history of wide receivers for this franchise is thin, right?
Exactly.
So they've never had an air raid, air Coryell, whatever yeah. you know,
they,
that label.
The old
label,
run and shoot got taken away the minute they came
yes,
here.
Yes, absolutely.
This is, you know, service academy yeah. kind of.
This is what I wonder about, too. When they're playing Carolina, what is Carolina's mentality? They're 1-9. They've been losing. But they're probably looking at this game going, we might have a shot.
We could win this one.
We could win this. And that's the dangerous thing, because it's easy to look at it from the other perspective and say, wow, now they're playing a team that they should beat. They'll go out. They'll get Carolina, and then they'll try to go from there. But that's the dangerous thing. Is like you've got a Carolina team that is trying to get something. They've got their quarterback. They're trying to get – you got a coach now that's trying to prove that he belongs. Like, that was a surprise hire.
Yeah.
Frank Reich, people were thinking maybe it should have been somebody else. And especially those people are looking at like, see, I told you. Why is Frank Reich the coach? He's got to find some positive here. So you might get their best stuff. I don't know that you're going to get a Carolina team that's mailing it in. If Carolina was playing the 49ers – then I think it's kind of like, oh, boy. It's
tuck our tail between our legs.
Right, but they're saying, we could match up with this team. We might be able to win this game.
Yeah, they have a –
they don't have the first pick. It's not like they're playing for draft picks.
They're not tanking for
Tua.
They're
not tanking for anybody. This is a game that I believe that, you know, I think both teams are sort of, you know, in the same position from this standpoint. The Carolina Panthers are coming in. As you two just said, it's not like they're playing the 49ers or the Eagles or the Jaguars or some team that right now trending toward the playoffs. They go into that game saying, okay, man, this is going to be tough. Like, man, if we pull it out, great. If not, then, I mean, we're overmatched,
yeah.
Basically. But this is a game they walk into and say, you know what? We got a chance to win this.
Yeah.
We can win this game.
And – I fear that if you lose to the Carolina Panthers, apathy is coming. And if I'm Amy Adams drunk with a stadium opening up here in a few years, trying to sell PSLs, trying to sell fans on the future, apathy is the most dangerous place for any franchise, but especially this franchise to be in.
I think it's still a take a while, Caroline, for them. I'm hoping it takes – it would take more than just these prior two seasons for them to reach that apathy level. Because to me, every team has their down period, 2 years, maybe even three. Some teams have longer than that, and we know who those teams are, and their fan base has that or had that but now don't. But I think it's going to take more than just a calendar year for the Titans fans to get to that point. Again, they can be disappointed, which they have every right to be disappointed. But I don't think they've reached that point. And I go back and I defer back to Willie. From 2012, well, really 2010, to
that's
really
when it really
2018.
Slipped.
And even in 2018, they were 9-7. Let's just go back to the malarkey years, 17, 16, 15, which he took over halfway through, well, three or four games into
that
the
was
season. That was a low point.
The Ken Whisenhunt thing.
Exactly.
Didn't go.
I think the Titans fans, because of the buildup, even to the Whisenhunt, they developed apathy.
Right.
But then I think after that, once malarkey showed that he was changing things. I think things started to change with the fan base.
And it took a while for everybody to get back
exactly.
in the stadium.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to take more than just the end of last season and this season for the fan base to get to that point. Now, they're going to be disappointed.
Right.
They are going to be disappointed. Have every right to be. But the apathy part, I don't think they've reached. But if they have, that's not good for this Titans team.
I'm worried about this, too, because I saw this. Number one, you mentioned that period of time is where they started losing the PSL holders. The PSL holders were selling their PSL to ticket brokers, and you started really seeing other teams' fans just buy
filling
from the ticket
the
brokers, and there was not a whole lot they could do about it, and there wasn't a whole lot of demand for the Titans fans to go because they weren't very good. And then they tried to, they've been working through that. They've been working hard the last few years, and they've had a team that's been worth watching, right? And it hasn't been as big of a deal. We know around the league now, it's more common to see patches, at least patches, of the other team's fans.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm worried about now in this era. They're starting to roll out, well, here's what it's going to be in the new stadium. Here's a model of the new stadium. Here's what it's going to cost. We're going to start rolling out ticket packages and PSLs. And so you'll probably have, if you're going into a rebuilding situation, some fans that say, I'll just wait for the new stadium to open, and until then, I'm just going to save my money and just I'm not going to go. I remember a lot of people telling me when you guys, Derek, were playing in Memphis and then at Vanderbilt, until the new stadium opens, I've got my PSL, I'm not going to go to Vanderbilt. And there weren't great crowds. Obviously, in Memphis, it was a disaster, which is why they moved from the Liberty Bowl
to
Vanderbilt. And that's not a huge stadium. And it was still some games where there wasn't that great of a crowd. Like, you guys were not a bad team.
No, we were.
Pretty good team.
But it didn't seem like a home game.
That's for sure. But then as soon as that new one opened, it all just changed like that.
And that's when we talked earlier this week about, you know, all the reports that we've heard. We saw Albert Breer. We heard John McClain saying it earlier on Chasing Big Joe that Amy Adams Drunk loves Mike Vrabel. And our question was, until when? She loves Mike Vrabel, but everybody has a breaking point. If she starts to see empty stadiums, if she starts to struggle to sell PSLs for this next new stadium, that's when those things start to shift. When there is no buy-in or a lack of buy-in, I'll say, into this football team and you can't get butts in those seats. I think even when the team was good, there was a good portion of the fan base that thought, parking and traffic, like, nah, I can just watch it at home. And that's when the team was good. That's when Derrick Henry was in his prime.
Yeah, you're fighting that no matter how good your team is in this day and age.
Yeah, and now you're fighting that in addition to a team that's underperforming and not winning football games. If I'm Amy Adams Drunk, that's when the clock starts ticking, and I'm thinking, I need more. I need butts in those seats, Mike. Let's get your thoughts on it, because the question is about you, the fans. How are you feeling? Are you apathetic yet? Are you frustrated? Do you still have buy-in to this football team? We'll get your phones coming up next, 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline Willie D. Mace, tune in to 1025 and 1063, The Game, this Saturday at 2:30 p.m. for our college football game of the week, Vanderbilt against Tennessee, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all of the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. The question of the day is for you, the fans. Where are you at? Are you apathetic? You still bought in? You're frustrated? You disappointed? Let's get into your phones, your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter texts in, says, apathy is completely here. There is no hope of things getting better. The way the season ended last year and to see them come out with no improvement this year, how many times have the visiting team fans taken over Nissan Stadium in the last 5 years? Reasonable fans have lost hope. They're not spending time or money to go see this team play. I do have one thought on that text about visiting teams taking over Nissan Stadium. I think there's a part of that where it doesn't matter how good the Titans are.
Yeah.
That's always going to be the case.
It's becoming more
people want to come to Nashville. People want to come. They will look at the schedule for their team. Let's say you're a Green Bay Packers fan. You might look at the schedule at the beginning of the season and say, hey, Nashville, let's make a weekend of it. I think that's more so just part of the city than it is the team itself. Feeling like there's no really light at the end of the tunnel for a fan, and that's why you're feeling apathetic, I think that's fair. I get it.
Yep. And Carolina probably won't have a lot of people coming with their season going on, but when Cam Newton, and I remember when they were 15-1 and Cam Newton was leading into the Super Bowl, they had a lot of people came in. It was not a good Titans team at the time, and they had their fun. That's what's frustrating when you're one of those diehard fans that doesn't like that, and you see that takeover happening. It's frustrating. But, like, to your point, when the ticket brokers control the seats some, and that's something that they've tried to fight, but it's hard, that's who buys the tickets. That's who's willing to pay the top dollar. They're going to work it into their whole price, right? We're taking a weekend trip to Nashville. whatever the tickets cost, let's just roll that in. That's what we're paying.
Like, Bills on Monday Night Football, I was at that game, and this is 2021. Like, Titans are ultimately the top team in the AFC. I thought the stadium was 50-50 Bills fans, Titans fans.
Hey, Bill Mafia, they travel.
They are so serious.
They will bully their way into the stadium. They'll find them some tickets.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, but, again, you know, this fan base has a right to, you know, feel the way they feel. Because they've seen, if you paid attention to this team, you saw this coming. And you were just hoping that, listen, do something before it gets to that point. Mm-hmm. And again, I go back to, and I know this is in regards to the receivers. I go back to him saying, trust us.
Yeah.
Trust us. Okay. The fan base has trusted you. And this is what they are getting because of their trust. A team that has only won 3 ball games and looks as if they're not going to win many more. It can change. Seen crazier things, but the likelihood of that changing is slim to none. They're going to play hard. Guys are going to play hard. I'm not going to sit here and say guys are not going to play hard, because even when, you know, 4-12 seasons that I had, well, one season that was 4-12, and we've had some other seasons where we're 8-8. Guys didn't, even though we knew we were not more than likely making the playoff, guys didn't mail it in. Guys still went out there and performed to the best of their ability. So, I mean, guys are going to go out there and play hard, but, you know, the fan base is just looking at this. Some of them is looking at it from the standpoint of, like, listen, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel.
I get it. You're justified in feeling that way. Eric is on the line with a thought on the Tennessee Titans. What's up, Eric?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, guys, here's my thoughts. I really thought before the season, I thought we were going to be a little bit better. And I thought if we had a shot to win a division with either 9 wins or maybe 10 wins, and the Jacksonville might take a little step back, I certainly did not envision this, guys. With the rest of the schedule, this game coming up, Carolina will probably be the only game we might be favored in. The Texans and the Colts might be a pick-em, but the rest of the games I think will be an underdog, because I don't think we're winning another road game, guys. But if you lose to Carolina, it really gets bad, guys. And it's going to be interesting the rest of the way, since we've got 5 home games left, how many fans are going to be in the stadium. I'm going to be at least at 3 of the last 5 games, because I've got Thanksgiving and Christmas, while I'll kind of probably miss the Seattle and the Texans game. But I'm just going to be at the next 2 home games in the home finale. But it's going to be interesting, the seats, watch the holidays, and the weather, and all that type of stuff, what type of fan reaction is going to be at the games. The only thing we've got to bank on is the fact that we're 3-0, but we'll see what happens. Guys, y'all take care. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk again soon.
Eric, you're the best. Thank happy you, Thanksgiving to you and your family. I get it. I totally understand. I don't know what to say other than however
it's
you
a new
feel.
Level. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Somebody used the term Thelma and Louise if you lose to Carolina.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you're on the cliff and you're right there, and then so it's already
just
you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
And
so it's like you lose to Carolina, it's just drive right the cliff. It's a new low.
That's what I said earlier. Every single week, it feels like, man, we found a new low. We found a new low. And then you found that you thought you had something after the Atlanta game.
Yeah, that's what the Delta House at Animal House searched for when they had the toga party, a new low.
You lose to the Panthers? That's a new low.
I don't think the Titans are looking for a new low, but they just may find it if they lose to the Carolina Panthers. But
0.0.
Let's not put that out there. I believe in the power of words. We're going to say they're going to win this game. And they're going to restore maybe a fraction, that small, little small fraction of hope in the fan base. I'm going to put that out there. You know, y'all can jump on me if y'all want to, fan base. Say what you want to say, but I'm going to say, I'm going to put it out there.
I think this team is too far beyond repair of words, D-Mace. But it's worth a shot.
Yes, worth a shot.
It's worth a shot, and I respect you trying. All right, we have a weird week this week with the holidays, so we're going to get into Silly Underdogs coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.